Hi, thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association serving the printing and packaging industry. This is a Thrive episode, ongoing professional development for print and packaging teams. And now we'll move into today's session.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another America's Print Association Network sales brief. These briefs are designed to be short and tactical and hopefully give you something to think about and talk about with your leadership teams, or if you're in sales, just a little something different to consider as you're out there engaging with customers and doing this very different and very challenging job of selling in 2026. So I just want to remind you, these briefs happen on the first three Thursdays of every month. We do one on sales, one on marketing, and one on company culture, and they are a benefit of your America's Print Association Network membership. My name is Kelly Malazzi. I've been working in the printing industry for 32 years, and I've done sales and sales management, and since I've started my own consulting practice, have really made a study of kind of how all those things like sales and marketing and company culture come together, because they're all very interdependent, aren't they? They're all very tied together. So this presentation is being recorded and will be made available to you later. And I will, when this is concluded, stay after for any questions that anybody has for as long as is necessary. So y'all can take notes and think about what you want to talk about when this is over. But we have a very, I think, interesting concept to talk about today. And that is the concept of connective labor. Now, I will tell you that I'm a podcast girly. I don't know if any of you out there are podcast people, but there is a podcast that I've been really leaning into lately. Well, there's two, but the one that I've been really leaning into is called The Hidden Brain. And it is very based in neurology and pop culture and a lot of things. And I literally have notes app open on my phone while I'm walking in the woods with my dog and listening to these podcasts, because there are so many connections to be made with what it is that we're out there trying to do today and how little tiny tweaks that we make or awareness or something that we can think about differently is there for us. And so for those of us who are here live or are listening to this later who either identify as baby boomers or Gen X, the foundational principle about what connective labor is the act in a work setting of making another people feel seen. And I am a very proud Gen Xer. I know a lot of you out there are Xers or boomers. And sometimes when we hear a new phrase, I get a little cringy about it. We might be like, oh, please, here's another millennial or Gen Z term. But it really is just the idea of making sure that the person that you're engaging with can see that you care. I'll give you an example. A nurse who puts their hand on your arm while they're talking to you and really listens while they're taking your vitals and noticing that you look really stressed out because you're super nervous about some test results. That's an example of connective labor. And how this relates to us as salespeople, and for those of you that are leading sales teams, the way that you can convey this to your team is, in a world that is, and I know I sound like AI when I say this, but these are really my words, in a world where there is so much automation, so much that has become impersonal, so often that we don't wander through stores anymore. We don't engage with the world in the way that we used to, like striking up a conversation in the grocery store line, right? Because we order our groceries online and we are so busy that we're just not looking at people anymore. We're not paying attention. So this is the way that I always talk about the world being kind of hybrid in, yes, we want to embrace technology. Yes, we want to use AI for all the things, but some things, my friends, cannot be automated in the ways that we need them to. And there's going to be some neuroscience behind this, so bear with me. So I really want you to think about, we can automate our social media posts using Hootsuite. We can automate what happens on our website, and we can have a chat bot that answers frequently asked questions when people come to our website. And there are a lot of things that we can do. We can automate outbound emails. We can automate things with our CRM, which I hope we're using. And when we are one-on-one and face-to-face, or we're on a Zoom call, or we're on the phone, or the blessed event, we are actually in a room with somebody, there are things that we can do and things we can be aware of to make sure that that person understands they do not just represent commission dollars to you. They are a human being. They have fears. They have emotions. They have needs and wants. And when we spend a few extra minutes spending time to demonstrate that and reflect that, that builds trust. So that's really what I want you to think about here. So again, remember that when we are talking about connective labor, we are talking about the act of being relational. Because I got started selling in the 90s, I was young, I was in my 20s, and I think I was so focused on get in there, make the presentation, overcome the objections, close the deal, that it took me a while to remember or to remind myself that these are people, right? And so taking somebody out to lunch, jotting down when their birthday is, listening about the upcoming tournament that they're going to with their kids for soccer halfway across the country. These are our examples of ways that we immerse our humanity and our curiosity. I really want you to lean into the word curious here, because when you like people and you're curious about them, you can come up with questions that will help you understand a little bit of something about them. For example, what are you reading right now? What are you watching right now? What are you listening to right now? What do you like to do on the weekends? What's on your bucket list for travel, right? And you're kind of socking all that information away in a CRM or in some way that you can keep track of it. Because imagine this. Imagine making that phone call 3 weeks after that soccer tournament and saying, "How did Jimmy do in that soccer tournament?" Or imagine sending a card on the anniversary of a client's first order. That's connective labor. So those are the things I want you to think about. It is really about humanity, intention, and care. And I don't think anybody goes into sales if they don't really embrace those concepts, right? If we wanted to be locked in a room somewhere crunching numbers, we would have studied accounting. But we are people, people, right? And so that is what I really want you to embrace about this. And it isn't just a buzzword. It's not just a fad that Gen Z has started talking about on TikTok. There is real neuroscience behind this. And so think of it this way. Buying decisions are 80% emotional, okay? And so when know that 70 to 80% of the buying decision happens before anybody talks to you, this makes that ability to communicate with somebody and taking the full advantage of those personal interactions makes them so consequential, so important, because it is our opportunity to go beyond the website, beyond the sales process, beyond the social media to the human. So we're balancing those things, right? We're balancing all the technology and all of the things that our organizations are doing to enable our sales. And we are coming in at that moment to be human and caring and curious, because people will trust us more if we ask them questions. People will trust us more if they think that we care about them beyond just the job, beyond just the project, beyond just the commission check, right? That's the things that I really want you to think about, that these details that you remember, these personal follow-ups. And again, you don't have to sock everything away in your brain. Throw it on your calendar, throw it in your CRM. Make those notifications to engage over these personal things and see what happens. So how do we practice this? This really is about listening. And in a world where might not, this information isn't just going to come out of a clear blue sky, right? We really do need to come up with questions, and we really do need to use our eyes and our ears when we're talking to people. So for example, you could tell by talking to somebody if they look like they're having a bad day, right? You can see it on their face. Maybe there's an expression happening. Maybe something looks hard. And you can say, how are you doing? Right? Like, really, I'm really asking, like, how are you doing? Is there anything you want to get off your chest? Is there anything you want to talk about? Right? We really are looking at the emotional awareness. You hear a lot about emotional intelligence these days. And emotional intelligence is about being able to talk about emotions. It's being able to identify what's the difference between envy and jealousy. What's the difference between shame and guilt? Right? Brené Brown wrote a whole book about it. It's on my shelf. It's fantastic. It's called Atlas of the Heart. We really are inserting ourselves as curious problem solvers who care about people. So those are some of the things that we can build into our sales process to check in on, to celebrate different milestones and things like that. But it's also about sharing information too, right? These are called information exchanges, right? So somebody might tell you, "I'm super stressed out because my aunt is in cancer treatment," and you can listen to that, take it in, and acknowledge it. That sounds so scary. I remember last year when my college best friend was going through that, and it was absolutely terrifying. So I hear you. That sounds hard, right? Because what is a more natural thing? Again, salespeople who are thinking, get the meeting, get the sale, they might glaze over some of those personal opportunities to connect. And in a world that is increasingly isolating, this is an epidemic, and your time and your care is a gift. And that's the way I really want you to think about that. So when we talk about turning it into a competitive advantage, right, it is about trust. No one is going to buy from anybody that they don't trust. And I would recommend thinking about your own buying experiences and your own situations of how you decide to spend your money and apply that to your own sales practice. So for example, you go into two different car dealerships to buy cars, and one guy or woman, when you say, I need a minivan, says, cool, I got minivans over here. Let's go. How much did you want to spend? And the other one at the other dealership looks at you and says, oh, why are you looking for a minivan? And you can say, because I'm pregnant with my second set of twins and I need a big car. Big, big difference. And I think that's a pretty explanatory example, but you can imagine so many examples from your own life. And I want you to think about how you've moved through the world as a purchaser, and then think about things that you can change about your approach, your curiosity, the way you ask questions, the way you exchange information with somebody. Those are kind of mutual disclosures, right? I tell you something, you tell me something. But beware of what we call conversational narcissism, right? So that is, so what this is, right? It's I say something and you are just waiting to reply, right? You just like, you want to say something too. So we're just literally, ping-ponging information to each other instead of receiving it, responding to it. That sounds hard. Tell me more about that. Why did you decide to do that, right? Going deeper. Deeper equals trust. Those are the things that I really want you to think about this. So that is the measuring stick, is how deep is the relationship. I will tell you, and some of you out there probably have stories like this, where you got invited to clients' weddings, where you got invited to clients' kids' birthday parties, things like that. That's when you know you've gotten to a level of depth and trust because of your curiosity and because of your care. So if you're already doing this, I applaud you. I would say look for ways to maybe do it a little bit more. I know some of you are probably saying, yeah, sure, Kelly, that was really easy back in the 90s and the 2000s when almost everything we did was in person. And yes, I remember those days where it would have felt inconceivable to do work with somebody that you hadn't met in person. But so you have to think about ways to be able to do this connective work that's not always face-to-face. It could involve handwritten thank you notes. It could involve phone calls. It could include a check-in text every once in a while. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I know you said today was the day for that test you were going to do. How did it go? Right? We have a lot of tools available to us, so we should use them. So I hope that this gave you a little glimpse into what connective labor is, why you can lean into it, the fact that we are really talking about care and concern and curiosity, how convenient that all of those letters start with, or all those words start with the letter C.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.